from whatever's in the world closed in our country. The more novitiates are closed, the more religious institutes disappear, the more there's only one thing that needs to be in, only one thing, in the name of God. Live the Catholic faith and convert people back to the faith from which they've strayed. What were the results? Astounding. What's the date of Our Lady of Guadalupe appearing to Juan Diego? What's the year? 1531. By 1540, and these are the statistics I repeat of non-Catholic historians, by 1540, over 8 million Aztec Indians, just that one tribe, had embraced Catholic Christianity. Or was that all? It would be a mistake to suppose now those were only superficial conversions. In 1552, the University of Mexico was founded on an equal academic footing as the University of Salamanca in Spain, a century plus before Harvard and Yale and all the others in the United States. If there's one lie, there are many lies. If there's one lie that keeps recurring in one English history book after another, it is the inferiority of the Spanish-speaking people to the English-speaking, and that is an L-I-E. A lie! Before long, Catholic Mexico was sending native-born missionaries to distant lands. And the evangelization of the rest of Latin America is a story of God's grace all by itself. The roots of this evangelization can be mysteriously but legitimately traced to the three memorable days at Guadalupe in 1531. A present Holy Father made a pilgrimage to the shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in 1979. He composed a prayer on that occasion, which is worth quoting in full. And I hope by the next time we meet, you'll have this and the whole prayer also in your hands. He composed a prayer that is worth quoting in full. He was asking Our Lady, Mother of the Americas, to intercede for the people of the Western world. It was through her that the Catholic Church was miraculously planted in the then New World. Also be through her that 500 years later, there will be, where needed, a reconversion of the people of North and South America to the one true faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who became the Son of the Virgin Mary. Okay. And now, have any questions? There must be more ideas on the left side. In what ways does the Pope depend on the United States? First of all, it does depend on the United States financially. However, I would say especially depends on the United States for the skills of organization that we have developed in our country. Structurally, administratively, and especially in the use of the modern media of communication. But one thing that desperately needs to be developed is the communication between Rome and the United States. To this day, some 50 million, nominally, 50 million professed Catholics in the United States. Yet the subscription to the weekly newspaper in English of the Holy Father is still less than 3,000. We've got work to do. How can we support him? Now, first of all, as far as donations go to the Holy Father, anytime you want to make a donation to the Holy Father directly, don't hesitate doing so. Make the check out to Pope John Paul II. And send the check, if you wish, to Mayor Detroit. We mail donations to the Holy Father through our office in Washington. I think I gave you my address. University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221. The checks should be made to the Holy Father. And we have agents in Rome with whom we work directly. I thought that Vatican II had granted Our Lady the title of Mediatrix of All Graces. Please comment. Well, not exactly. Certainly Our Lady is spoken of as Mediatrix of Grace in the Second Vatican Council. What we are asking for, and Holy Father has encouraged the organization of this movement and even the petitions that are being sent to him. What we're asking for is the third major definition by a pope regarding Mary: Immaculate Conception, Mary's Assumption, and now our mediation of grace. A logical third definition, solemn, infallible definition. That's what we are asking for. In the media, Muslims try to portray their faith as tolerant of other faiths. They repudiate the radical fringe of Islam. Why? Well, they can do all the repudiating they want in the media or in print. I think I told you that is merely verbal. When 24 Muslim nations in Africa organize and their starting budget is $1 billion in American money to remove Christianity from the African continent, forget about this rhetoric. The Muslims are very active in seeking to remove Christianity first from Africa and wherever Christianity is firmly established. And thus, When? As early as the 5th century. In northern Africa alone, there were some 300 Catholic bishops. Yet, by the year 1900, the Muslims have been so phenomenally successful that there were less than 1.5 million Catholics left in the whole continent of Africa. But now, 1994, there are 90 million Catholics in the African continent. And the Muslims are beside themselves with anger. And that is one reason why the Pope called this massive synod of African bishops in Rome to strengthen Catholicism in Africa, which is being so violently oppressed by the Muslims. So the apparition of Our Lady of Guadalupe be likened to a second Pentecost? Of course. As a matter of fact, the fathers of the church tell us that except for Mary being among the disciples as she was during that first novena between Christ's ascension and the descent of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday, we don't know how long they would have waited for the Holy Spirit to come. And more than just 9 days. Moreover, Mary remained with the infant church. Again, tradition tells us 15 years. In other words, we may say Pentecost would not have taken place without Our Lady. And after Pentecost, she remained, in the deepest sense of the word, the mother of the church and mothering the church. There is no way of passing judgment on the sheer number of Marian revelations that are allegedly taking place in our day by reading as much as I can about them. I believe from my reports that most of them are authentic. But one after another, like for example, as you know, I've been having teleconferences during the winter and spring term. Our last one for this term is on May 24th, which is what? Tuesday. And it is on the message of Fatima. And I see my name attached to Fatima. I repeat what I've said before. Believe me, I no more have my name attached to Fatima than, say, to Barnum and Bailey Circus. I did tell you, though, what happened with that magnet metal, remember? That boy suddenly healed. But what is them? I didn't tell you? Oh, sure I did. Well, this boy, midwinter, started riding downhill, unconscious, for several weeks, in a coma, permanent brain damage. So I blessed the parents and then was going to leave the room Well, I realize that if this works, let's try it. And it works. That boy, remember, totally unconscious. I finished the prayer of investiture. Wakes up. Sees his mother. Says, "Ma, I'm hungry." And then call the doctor. "Oh, I shouldn't do this," the doctor says, "but the kid is certainly hungry." So, days of examination, all the x-rays were negative. I saw the contrast between the x-rays before and after. So, it works. So when Our Lady appears, does she always look like the people she's appearing to? Well, from all that I hear, she does try to accommodate. I'll save those. That's a precious box. Why are some priests so reluctant to hear confessions? Some pastors have 2,000 families but only hear a handful of confessions per week. Please comment. Well, one reason, I can tell you honestly, I know I'm being taped. Some priests hear so few confessions because they don't go to confession themselves. You've got to appreciate going to confession yourself. When I give priest retreat, I always make sure that the confession door is open, and whenever possible, even have the priest sitting in the confession with lights on, door wide open, so the priest and leaving the chapel have to pass the confessional wide open. So, and anything you can do, by the way, talk to priests and impose on priests. If you don't feel particularly sinful, just go to confession anyhow. I mean it. Give the priest work to do. Good for your soul. What prayers do you recommend saying during Eucharistic adoration? It depends on the person. Now, there are, as you know, prayers to be recited at the, well, during, say, the Holy Hour. It is a good thing to talk over with our Lord what is most on your mind. Now, you can ask for what you need. I do, for example, here, for me, I do a lot of writing before the Blessed Sacrament. So I talk to our Lord, "Lord, now what do I say?" And I jot it down. Can the souls of people who die and go to hell ever come out? No. Not if the soul goes to hell. Can a soul in hell ever possess a living person on earth? Or is it only possible for demons, fallen angels, to possess living people? It is very possible for the souls of the damned, as we say, to possess people. In fact, if anything, Yes. Do you have any comments? So, which is also one reason, by the way, why spiritualism is such a dangerous art. One is the Sabbath in terms of the time of day. Is it from sundown on Saturday to sundown on Sunday? Or is it midnight Saturday until midnight Sunday? Or something else? Well, first of all, we're not Jewish. We're Christian. So it's not sundown on Saturday till, say, sundown on Sunday. No. It is from midnight to midnight. However, and this we have this taught, so I pass it on to you. Given the fact that we are on time zones, I was told when I was studying my theology before ordination, and I passed this on to others, that we may take the liberty of adding 1 hour to midnight, and still, for example, say, consider it to be Saturday, even though it is 12:30 a.m. Sunday morning. But then you have to be consistent at the other end. But in general, midnight to midnight.
Does the same apply for Sunday?
Please.
Does the same apply for Sunday as the Lord's Day? It begins midnight, Saturday night?
Yeah. Doesn't the longevity of the Muslim church tend to give it credibility to its members? We always see the only way the Catholic Church could have existed 2,000 years is under divine providence. Yes, certainly, one ground for the credibility of Islam is its longevity. Except, you better explain your terms. Islam would never have survived. In fact, Islam would never even have come into existence, except that Muhammad and all leaders of Islam, and no exceptions, have been outstanding military leaders. The greatest military leader of all times, hear it, was Muhammad. Greater than Caesar, greater than Napoleon. In other words, Islam is historically the one perfect model, the one perfect model of a church state. There is no separation between church and state in Islam. Zero. And the ambition of every believing Muslim is to make, well, Islam, the state religion. In other words, the reason for not just the longevity, but the very existence of Islam, and even its survival, has been its military power. And Islam is very militant. If the soul of someone we love chooses to go to hell, how can we be completely happy in heaven? Because the essence of happiness is to be conformed to the will of God. How can God be happy if there are souls in hell? Or for that matter, even before human souls, how can God be happy with the existence of, say, the evil spirits in hell? Behind this, of course, comes the question, is the whole mystery of evil, but God understands, and the degree that we are united with God, we too will understand how we can be happy in conforming our wills with His, even though someone who say we love, or shall I say, have loved, is now a strange of God. How can we die to ourselves? What are some ways? Some of these questions are not just questions. They are the subjects of at least a 2-semester graduate course in spiritual theology. And you want to know how you can die to yourself, find out what in your life holds such a strong appeal or attraction for you that over the years now it has been the principal reason for your offending God. We never sin except by choosing something under the guise of good. We are seduced by something which has the appearance of goodness. So how do we die to ourselves? The first was it means to die to yourself. It means to let go with our wills. Of a naturally like, let me know, is contrary to the will of God. And some people rather die in body rather than give up what they are so strongly attached to. Now if you ask, how do you do it? Well, first of all, you might be convinced that there are some things in your life. Oh no, not my life. Just a minute. There are in your life some creatures, to give them a generic name, some creatures which you are very drawn to. There may be certain persons. There may be certain food. Maybe certain books. Maybe certain ideas. And if you want to, as we say, die to these, which means that you do not live to them, you want to let go of them in your life. First, you've got to find out which they are. What are they? And that's, as some of you know, is called the principle and foundation of St. Ignatius' spiritual exercises. Our first job in life is to find out what in my life has such a strong appeal to me that I must somehow give up, let go of, because it is God's will. How do we pray without ceasing while we are working? Can you recommend some prayers to say while at work on the job? You know, really, the two should not be separated, working and praying. When we are working, our minds should not be, well, totally mindless or not thinking of God. There's no inconsistency in doing whatever I'm doing and having God somehow on my mind. And I would say, why not associate what prayers you are saying with the work you are doing? For example, I wrote for several hours yesterday in chapel. The manuscript here. See, I was writing this in chapel. And I was doing this while writing. So that it's a good idea interweaving, interspersing. And afterwards, it becomes or should become what I've almost called second nature. In other words, say, I'm going up the elevator and I'm saying some prayers over the door. Say some prayers. Say to one, come to me. I say some words to our Lord. The essence of prayer, remember, is in the will. My will is united with the will of God. It does not matter too much what words I use. You said that the good bishops are those that are willing to be martyred. Percentage-wise, what might that be in the United States?
That's God.
Well, all I can tell you is that the Holy See is very sensitive to what bishops are given a certain job or asked or told to do something. You said Rome has closed the book. How many orders in the United States? Explain. Well, I've never seen the list. But they've told me that religious communities in the United States that over the years, of course, have kept the correspondence with the Holy See, say the Congregation for Religious or for Consecrated Life. And over there, there may be hundreds of letters between the administration, say in America, and the officials in Rome. But by now, Rome can see where this community is going. It's going nowhere except downhill. So it may still keep them in the files. But as far as Rome is concerned, that community is done. I may have mentioned this on some occasion to you people. I mentioned more than once in speaking to religious. The history of all religious communities in the world follows a definite pattern. They all begin with a zealous and holy founder or founders. No exceptions. Otherwise, you wouldn't get off ground. A Francis of Assisi, a Francis de Sales, an Ignatius, a Don Bosco. They flourish, but the numbers increase. Then, those originally very zealous and holy people become more lax. And after a while, that once flourishing religious community is either to be reformed or yesterday? Well, closed down. So there are communities in the United States. As a community becomes more and more secularized, then, over the centuries, it either reforms or it closes down. And most of the communities over the centuries have closed down. Does an assistant pastor have to obey the pastor when he is told not to say the creed at Sunday Mass? Well, no. Because the pastor doesn't have the right to tell him not to say the creed. Our married children sometimes miss Mass on Sunday. Is this still a mortal sin? Yes, it is. Now, of course, a sin can be committed objectively, which is mortal. But given the poor background, given the bad example that people nowadays have, the guilt, therefore, for missing Mass on Sundays, though objectively, can be a grave sin. Or certain people may not be great for them. I repeat, objectively can still be, and still is, a mortal sin. He reported on a Windsor radio station this week that our Holy Father may be soon be stepping down, retiring, to his health. Any comment? Well, could be. But knowing Pope John Paul II, that'll be the day. What is a good book on the lives of the saints? Well, the best four-volume work on the lives of the saints is by Atwater. And four volumes for each of four seasons. There are, of course, many books on the lives of the saints. But for me, I would say the Atwater four volumes is standard. Concerning the book by Brother Andrew, Practicing the Presence of God, he never mentions the sacraments. Did he have Protestant influence? Also, although not having read it yet, Tricosan's Abandonment to Divine Providence causes me concern on what a rabbi, when a rabbi heaps praises on it, on the paperback cover. Well, rabbi, I presume the rabbi is heaping praises. Is it on Kosad's book? Is that?
Yeah.
And you can heap praises on something. First of all, there are good rabbis. I know some myself. But on his brother Andrew, Practicing the Presence of God, I'm not that familiar with the book.
Oh, Brother Lawrence, I'm sorry.
Please?
Brother Lawrence, Practicing the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence.
I see. I'm not familiar with it. Concerning the fact that it is not licit to do an intrinsically evil act so that good may come, for presumably to avoid evil, to avoid a greater evil. In what way is it then licit to kill in a just war, in self-defense, or for the state to execute the guilty? It seems to me that for those to be licit, we must have chili not to be intrinsically evil. Oh, no. Over the centuries, no exceptions. Never. The church's teaching has always been it is forbidden to kill an innocent human being. There has never been a divine law. Never. Which says you cannot kill. You may not kill an innocent human being. The state does have a right to execute justly condemned criminals. And in a just war, say a war of self-defense. And even the intention need not necessarily be to kill, but to win the war, you may permit people to be even killed, provided that it's the state which is justified to engage, say, in a war of self-defense. And let me tell you, I'll be very careful in what I say. The whole morality of abortion has yet to be analyzed. And we repeat, the whole morality of abortion has yet to be analyzed. Why? Because abortion is the murder of innocent human beings. May a person use physical means to prevent the murder of an innocent human being? Yes. Yes. Once more, yes. Exclamation mark. I've said this before publicly, and I hope I'm wrong. I do not believe that abortion will stop in our country until we have a civil war. And if there would ever be a justified civil war, this one would be it. If a person gets a plenary indulgence just before death, thus freed from all temporal punishment due to sin, do they go directly to heaven? Sure.
With no purgatory.
No purgatory. And by the way, we should all ambition, all of us should ambition not going to purgatory. That's what we need. We need to suffer here. Don't run away from the cross. That's silly. It's not good mathematics. What action does Jesus effect in the soul? Mind, heart, and spirit in communion besides grace. Often I see no change for the better, as if nothing happens. Usually I experience no improvement in my life with Jesus. Well, this may be an expression of deep humility, just deep humility. No person may be growing in virtue, but just too modest to admit there has been real progress. Could be. However, to ask, why does Jesus affect in the soul, mind and heart and spirit, and community besides grace? My dear friends, if you get grace, what else are you looking for? Mazuma? Money? Is grace what you need? Often I see no change for the better, as if nothing happens. Well, remember, what we get from Holy Communion, we get the grace. But remember, the grace we receive must be cooperated with. That's why God gives us the grace. It's not that we might admire it. Gosh, What a beautiful grace. Oh, how nice. Cooperate with the grace. So I would say, if you experience no improvement in your life, pardon me, look into your conscience and ask yourself, what are you doing with the graces that you received from Holy Communion? Will you please elaborate on the fact that Muslims will not abort their children as America Christians do, and therefore how can Americans even save herself since she aborts her children? Well, it's not quite true. Oh, wish it were true that Muslim people do not abort. Wish it were true. They do. Now, if some Muslim people do not abort as much as